1 John chapter 3, verse 1 tonight. We're continuing our study of the book of 1 John. You remember, as we've studied, I pointed it out every week, that when the apostle wrote the book, he said there's two purposes for which I write. One is so that you can know that you're saved. And we quote 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." So that we can know that we're saved. He said, I write for a second reason. I write so you know that your joy can be full. 1 John 1:4, "In these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." And again, as we've talked about the last several weeks, the rest of the book are signs or indicators or markers, whatever you want to call them, that if these things are in your life, then you can know that you have eternal life and that your joy can be full. In fact, the more of these things you have in your life, the more joy that you can have. And so some of the things that we've talked about, some of the markers or the signs or the indicators that we've talked about, we've mentioned walking in the light of God's, in His presence, walking in His commandments. We've talked about loving the brethren. We've talked about loving not the world. Last week, we talked about standing fast and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And tonight, as we start chapter 3, we're going to come back and we're going to emphasize several of those things that we've already talked about. We're going to talk about, again, walking in the light. We're going to talk about, again, keeping His commandments. We're going to talk about, again, loving His brethren. Now, I will tell you, I wrote those words down. I made those notes as I began to make my notes for the study tonight. And my plan was to study the first 10 verses of 1 John chapter 3. And you'll see eventually when we get to those 10 verses that they do cover walking in the light and keeping His commandments, keeping ourselves pure, loving the brethren. But as I progressed in making my notes, I ended up with 6 pages of notes on verse 1. Now, just so you know, with 6 pages of notes, I can teach for about a half an hour. In Sunday school, I usually have 10 pages of notes, and I can get through that in about 40 or 45 minutes. But when I get to 6 pages of notes, I know I need to quit because it's going to be 30 minutes, and you know you'll be ready to go home, and I will be too. And so tonight, instead of covering the first 10 verses, we're going to cover just the first verse in John chapter 3. And it's going to be a theme, you'll see when we get to it, that I talked a little bit about Sunday night. And so the Lord has just kept it on my heart the first part of this week. And so we'll be good just to get through verse 1. So let's look at verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew not Him." So the apostle starts off with the word "behold." He says, "Hey, I want to get your attention. I want you to see what I'm about to talk about. I want you to observe. I want you to take notice of it. Don't just let it pass. Don't take it for granted. Pay attention to it." And what he wants us to pay attention to is what manner of love, how great a love, how enduring a love, how encompassing a love that the Father hath bestowed upon us. This love comes from God, and it is a love that is bestowed or gifted to us. It is given to us. It is not something that we've earned. It is not something that we deserve. It is given to us as a gift from God the Father. And I would tell you tonight, I don't think anybody here fully understands or comprehends the love that God has for us. I mean, we've had Sunday school lessons about it. I've preached hundreds of sermons about it. We've sang thousands of songs about the love of God. But I will tell you tonight that I think we've just scraped the tip of the iceberg. We've just seen glimpses of it. The Bible says we look through a glass dimly. And I don't believe until we leave this world, and until we walk on heaven's shore, until we see our Savior face to face, and we have all eternity to consider it, that we may begin to comprehend and understand the love that God has for us. I take you back. Brother Gerald was reminded me of it recently to a sermon I preached not too long ago about the word so. You know, there's some things in the Bible that God can't find human words to describe. And when he comes across things like that, he uses that little two-letter word so to say, what I'm going to tell you about, I don't know how to describe, so I'm just going to say so. He used that word in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. How much did God love the world? He said, I don't know how to put it in words that you've understood. I mean, he tries to in different places of the Bible. He has songwriters write songs about it, and we can all talk about the love of God, but how do you describe it? How do you describe its depth? How do you describe how it encompasses every single person that's ever lived? We just can't find words to do it. And so God says, I'm just going to use the word so, for God so loved the world. In Hebrews, he talks about how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How great is salvation? God says, I don't know how to describe it to you so that you can understand it and get the full measure of it. So I'm going to use the word so. In another place in the Bible, he uses it in relation to sin. He talks about so great a sin. And God has so loved us that he's bestowed upon us with a love that's so great, that's so enduring, that's so encompassing. You know, as I was thinking about it, whenever I think about the love of God, I think about that song. Now, we've had a couple people sing it every now and then, but it's not a song that we sing very often. But every time I think about the love of God, the words of this song just run through my mind over and over and over. If we with ink the oceans filled, and were the sky of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry. It would drain them dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how marvelous and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. And so he has bestowed upon us a manner of love. And what does that love do for us? That we should be called the sons of God. Because of that love, we were made part of his family. We are called his sons. We who were born in sin. We who by act and practice are corrupt and disobedient. We who are guilty of breaking every one of the commandments of God. You say, preacher, I haven't broken them all. The Bible says in the book of James, if we offend the law in one point, we're guilty of all. So we, born in sin, we who by act and practice are corrupt and disobedient, we who broke every one of the Ten Commandments, we who are under the curse of God, the wages of sin is death, because of the love that God has for us, can become, if we accept that love in the person of Jesus Christ, we can be called the sons of God, heirs of all that is our Father's, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Then that verse says, therefore, the world knoweth us not. You see, the world doesn't understand what we have as Christians. The world doesn't know what we have as Christians. The world doesn't know, for example, the completeness that we have in our lives, because when we were restored, our relationship was restored with God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. We got our purpose back for which we were created. We were created to fellowship with Him. In our sin, we could not do that. But when we got saved, we were made complete. That empty part of your life that was empty and wanting before you got saved got filled up when you asked Jesus to be your Savior. And the purpose for which you were created, you now can do. You now can have fellowship with the Father. The world doesn't understand that. They still have that hole in their being. They still have that empty spot, and they try to fill it up with everything the world has to offer, but there's nothing that fills it up but the Lord Jesus Christ. And the world doesn't understand that. It doesn't know us. It doesn't understand the joy that we have. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. I mean, we go through the trials, we go through the heartaches, we go through the sorrows, just like everybody else in the world does, but we have a deep, abiding joy that comes from knowing Jesus as our Savior. The world doesn't understand that. The world doesn't understand the hope that we have. I was talking to somebody at Kim's funeral. And I won't tell you who it is, but I was just talking to them. And they made the statement, well, I'm glad Gerald and I'm glad you have that hope that you'll see her again because I don't have that hope. And I wanted to tell that man as I was talking to him, but you can have it. You can have it. We have that hope not because of who we are, not because of who Gerald is, or not because of who I am, but we have that hope because of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. We have the hope for heaven. We have the hope that we'll see our loved ones again. The world doesn't understand that. They mourn, and we mourn, but we don't mourn like the world does because we have a hope that one day we'll walk on heaven's shore together. And it says, it knew not us because it knew not Him. It didn't. The world, when Jesus was here, did not know what they had. The Son of God, the Creator of everything about us, the one who sustains it, according to the book of Colossians, the one who holds it all together. He walked among us for 33 and some years. He interacted with us. He taught us. He pulled back the curtain of heaven and let us look through the portals into heaven and let us get glimpses of the kingdom of God. And the world, for the most part, ignored Him. They disputed with Him. They persecuted Him. They crucified Him. Had they known what they had, they would have reacted a whole lot differently. Now, here's what I want to repeat, what I said on Sunday. And again, the Lord's just kept this thought on my heart this week. I want us to never forget. I want us to never take for granted the love that God has for us as individuals. Yes, He loved the world. Yes, He gave Jesus because He loved the whole world. And yes, Jesus died for the whole world. But tonight, I want to encourage you, never lose sight of, never take it for granted, never let a day pass without thinking about it. Jesus loved you. Jesus died for you. You are a child of God. You are a son of God. You are a member of His family. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And the world doesn't know. The world doesn't understand. They don't understand what we have. They don't understand what we enjoy as children of God. We have that total completeness. We no longer have that empty spot that people try to fill up with all sorts of things from the world. And none of the things that the world has to offer will satisfy that longing that we have in our being for relationship with Jesus Christ. They don't understand that. They don't understand the joy that we have. Again, life is not all roses for Christians. We have heartaches and we have sorrows and we go through times of testing and trial. But we have a Father that not only loves us, but has a plan for each one of our lives as individuals, and He controls what comes into our lives. And the only things that come into our lives are the things that He allows. And the only thing He allows, He has a purpose for every single one of them. And the world doesn't understand that we have confidence in our Father that He knows what He's doing. He knows what he's doing. The world doesn't understand the hope we have for heaven, that one day that Jesus will come back to get us. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I have a hope. You have a hope that one day, those that have gone on before us, those that we've loved, those that times we wish we could bring back, but know that they know none of them would want to come back because they walk heaven sure. We have a hope. It's not a hope-so hope. It's a no-so hope. It's a confident hope that one day we will see them again. The world doesn't know that. And so, here's my theme tonight, my main point tonight, my message tonight is, let's never forget. Let's never take for granted what we have in him. That's why, again, I tell you, I don't have any problem and will never have a problem. And if you have a problem with it, you're going to have a problem. I don't have a problem preaching salvation messages to people that are saved. I think people that are saved need to be reminded what they have in Jesus Christ. I think people that are saved, if we're not careful, will take for granted the love that God bestowed upon us in making us the sons of God. I never want to take it for granted. I never want to forget the price that was paid for my salvation. I wish we could take the Lord's Supper every day and be reminded with the juice and with the bread that he died for us, us as individuals. And so if you don't like to hear salvation messages, you probably ought to find yourself a different preacher. Because as long as I've got breath in my lungs, I'm going to remind you what Jesus Christ did for you. And by the way, oftentimes there's lost people that need to hear it too. And if there's just one lost person and the rest of the 199 of us are saved, then I'll preach salvation to the one. I will remind you often. I'll hold up this book. And what we have, I want us to never take it for granted. Never forget what it is. I have in my hand, and you have in your hand, the Word of God. The precious Word of God. The inspired Word of God. The preserved Word of God. I want you to know what you have. I don't want you to take it for granted. And by the way, I want the Word of God that he has inspired. I want the Word of God that he has preserved. I don't want a word that man has messed around with. I don't want a word that he has meddled with. I want a word that God has preserved so that I can live by every word out of his mouth. And so, I don't want you to take it for granted. I don't want you to take the love of God for granted. I don't want you to take your salvation for granted. I don't want you to take the Bible for granted. I don't want you to take for granted the privilege that we have to serve God. We are his ambassadors. I am an ambassador. You are an ambassador of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Just stop and think about that. The one you represent one day is going to be crowned the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And the time that you have to serve him is the time that you spend on this earth. The only time that you're going to have to serve him in the way that you're serving him now is the time that you spend on this earth. Do you ever stop and think? There's not going to be any lost people in heaven. None. There's not going to be any hungry people in heaven. There's not going to be any sick people in heaven. There's not going to be any hurting people in heaven. If we're going to serve him witnessing, if we're going to serve him ministering to others, we got to do it now. Because when we go to heaven, there's going to be no opportunity to witness. I mean, we can praise the Lord and talk to each other about how good he was to save us. But there's going to be nobody there that's never heard the gospel. There's going to be nobody there that's not already under the blood. And I don't want us to lose sight of what we have. I don't want us to lose sight and take for granted the privilege that he's given us. Listen, it's an honor and a privilege to be a Christian tonight. It's an honor and a privilege to be a child of God. It's an honor and a privilege to be part of God's family. It's an honor and a privilege to serve our Heavenly Father. And it's an honor and a privilege to be part of this church. I thank God every day for it. As I mentioned Sunday night, you don't know what an honor and a privilege it is for me to be your pastor. I get up every day and I remind myself of the privilege that God has given me to do that. I don't ever want to take it for granted. I don't want to ever lose sight of it. I want to enjoy every moment that God has given me. That's why I don't like to miss church. That's why it's very, very, very seldom that I give up my pulpit. Now, I've given it up twice to Andy and once to Timothy and once to, the concert at the end of the month. I probably ain't going to give it up the rest of the year, although I got to let Adam start preaching again sometime, and I just don't want to do it. Not because he's not good, but just because I don't want to give it up. When I preach, when I teach, I preach every sermon like it's the last one that I'm going to preach. I teach every lesson like it's the last one I'm going to teach because it is a privilege to serve God. It is a privilege to serve God. I look forward to every service. I look forward to every time we get together with the senior saints. I even look forward to Friday morning when I can come and dust the cobwebs out of the corner and the times that Terry lets me help him clean the toilets. I look forward to that because I don't know how much longer. Now, I'm not renting myself out. It's just at the church, not anywhere else. But anyhow, I look forward to that. Because I don't know how much longer that I'm going to be able to do it. I don't know how much longer that God's going to give me the privilege to do it. So every time I have the opportunity, I'm not going to blow it. I'm not going to miss it. I'm not going to take it for granted. Again, I want to squeeze out of everything that God has given me. I want to squeeze out and get all that He has for me. And I want you to do the same thing. I want you never to forget. I want you to never to take for granted the privilege that you have to be saved, to be called a child of God, to have His Word, to come to a church that lifts Him up and encourages us to serve Him. Let's never take it for granted. That verse says, they didn't know Him. They don't know us because they didn't know Him. They didn't know Jesus. How could they not know Him? How could they not listen to what He taught, listen to what He preached, see what He did? How could they not know Him? And so many Christians, if they're not careful, don't know what they have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's never, ever forget what He's done for us. Let's never, ever take it for granted. Let's serve Him every opportunity that He gives us. It's not a drudgery, it's a joy. It's not a duty, it's a pleasure. Now again, maybe there's some times in our life when we have to do it and it feels like a duty. I want you to keep doing it, because you keep doing it as a duty, pretty soon it'll become a joy again. So never lose sight of it. Never forget it. The world doesn't know what we have, but praise God, we do. We do. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand and have a word of prayer.